Pushing through the door to his rooms, he immediately looked at the sofa, hoping to see Tessa sitting there. But he only found Axel playing a video game of some sort. Did she come out at all? Theon dropped his phone onto the table and went to the fridge. He grabbed a water for himself and tossed one to Luca.
Once, she didn't even look at me, let alone acknowledge me when I spoke to her. She rummaged around in the fridge for a second before going right back in there. Had a water and an apple in her hands.
Axel defeated an enemy and saved his game.
I did check on her, though. She was curled on her bed, facing the wall.
How long ago was that? Axel glanced at the clock.
2 hours ago, give or take.
Luca had taken his seat on the sofa, noticeably not saying anything. Again, you have nothing to say on this matter.
Considering my advice and concerns have routinely been dismissed or ignored, I won't bother offering them anymore.
Luca concluded his thought with a healthy gulp of water.
For fuck's sake!
Theon shoved a hand through his hair and set his water down with a little too much force. He stalked off to go get Tessa. She needed to eat more than an apple, and then they could talk.
Tessa, I'm...
Her bed was empty. He looked around the small room before going into the dressing room and on into the bathroom. He must have missed her in his bedroom.
Tessa!
He stepped into his bedroom. His bed was perfectly made, and there was certainly no blonde-haired beauty in it. The chairs by the fireplace were empty, and one look out the balcony doors told him the balcony was vacant too.
Tessa!
He couldn't fathom where she could possibly be.
What's wrong?
Luca appeared in the doorway, Axel looking over his shoulder.
She's not here.
Theon was not able to fully wrap his mind around that statement.
What do you mean she's not here?
Luca stepped fully into the room and checked to her small bedroom.
She has to be here. She only came out to the other room once. It's not like I could have missed her. She has to be here.
Luca came from the bathroom, clearly having taken the same path Theon had in his search.
Order her to come out. Entrance her. If she's hiding somewhere, she'll have to obey.
Tessa Lynn, come here.
They all stood still and waited. And waited.
It's not possible. She couldn't just disappear. What'd she do, climb over the balcony railing and jump down 3 stories?
He scoffed at the absurdity of the idea. But Luca and Theon locked eyes before rushing out onto the balcony. Luca went to the left, and Theon went to the right.
Here, this ledge leads over to latticework and vines. Fuck!
You can't be serious. She didn't actually... The wards would have stopped her from leaving without one of us.
Oh, she did. Theon looking down at the 3 flights to the ground. She absolutely did.
Do you want to fly to find her?
Luca looked out at the gardens that eventually shifted to forest as they climbed up the mountainside.
No. My father might notice, and he cannot find out about this.
This had to explain the shift in the bond. She was getting farther away from him. The urgency was still there, but it was becoming muted and muffled.
We'll take the horses and hounds. Axel, stay here in case she ends up coming back. Call me if she does.
Got it. I'm sorry, Theon. I didn't know that she would-
It's not your fault, Axel. She's...
Uncontrollable?
Theon was clenching his teeth so hard, he was surprised he didn't crack a molar.
Strong-willed.
He snatched the thin blanket from her bed, before stalking into the dressing room.
Call down to the stables and have them ready 2 of mine.
On it.
Theon quickly changed into jeans, riding boots, and a thermal. He'd grab a heavier jacket from hooks by the door on his way out. What the fuck was she thinking? Sure, it was decent during the day, but as soon as the sun started setting, the temperature in the mountains would plummet. What if this odd weather continued and it stormed? There weren't any jackets or gear in here that she could have taken with her. Had she taken any food? Water? And where did she even think she was going to go? Guards would see her trying to cross the gates or walls. He had to assume she was going to attempt going up the mountain at the back of the property, where she would face not only the elements, but the things that prowled the woods and Ozul Mountains. Luca met him outside his rooms as he shrugged down his jacket, heading for the stairwell to take them out the side entrance of the east wing. Luca had changed as well, his face grim. They strode along the paths to the stables in silence, stopping to grab 2 of Theon's prized hounds on the way. These weren't your typical hunting dogs.
They had sleek black coats, eyes that glowed like embers, and were as large as a small horse. They were more like wolves than hounds, he supposed. He whistled sharply as he entered the kennels, and the howling and excited yips of his hounds immediately ceased. He unlocked the pens of his best trackers, Kaisella and Rigel. They would make short work of finding her. The hounds dutifully fell into step behind him as they continued on their way to the stables. When they arrived, two stable hands were finishing checking straps and buckles. Luca crossed to the small storage space to retrieve packs and fill them with water and a little food. Tessa couldn't have made it that far traveling on foot. She only had a few hours lead on them. They ought to be able to catch up to her in an hour or two. At least Theon hoped so. That unnecessary meeting had gone on for hours. While Luca put packs together, Theon tossed the blanket from Tessa's bed to the ground for Kaisella and Rigel to get her scent. She wouldn't be needing the blanket anytime soon. She wouldn't be leaving his sight again until he was confident the bond was in place and she was fully under his control. Luca returned, tossing him a pack, and Theon moved to his favorite of his four horses, Osiris. They were giant black stallions named after some of Sargon's most famed warriors. Theon had searched tirelessly to find the horses and spent countless hours training them to his exact specifications. He mounted Osiris with ease, while Luca pulled himself up into Zael's saddle.
Ready.
Theon moved Osiris's reins to one hand. The horse stamped his hoof and pawed at the ground, clearly ready to run. Kaisella and Rigel were prancing around the horses, whimpering and restless with the excitement of the hunt.
What are you going to do when you find her?
I've been giving her space and time to adjust, but this is the second time she's run from me. Theon urged Osiris to walk from the stables. And it will be the last. He needed to bring the female to heel. Her wildness might intrigue him, but this was taking it too far. She could push him away and fight with him all she wanted in their private quarters, but not in public. Not in front of his father. She needed to accept her fate. Not only because his father would require it, but because Theon's own plans required her cooperation. He needed her willing to let him feed on her strength and power. When the time came, he couldn't be focused on forcing her to give it to him. Tessa saw him as a merciless descendant of the gods who wanted to possess her and rule her. So that's what he would become. He'd tried to ease her into the role, thinking it would build trust faster. But in doing so, he'd clearly given her the illusion that he wasn't in control of everything. That he wasn't in control of her. She'd learn why the Arius Kingdom was whispered about. He'd become the nightmare she already thought he was.
The sun had been high in the sky when she'd crept over the balcony railing and sidled along that narrow ledge to the trellis of climbing ivy. She'd prayed to anyone but the gods that it would hold her weight when she gingerly tested it, and breathed out a sigh of relief as she shimmied down. The wards had pressed along her skin, and these were strong. Some wards she could feel, but more in a she-knew-they-were-there sort of way. Few actually pressed to keep her out, or in this case, keep her in. Weaker wards she didn't feel at all, which is why she so often found herself in trouble for being in places she wasn't supposed to be as a child. She'd never figured out how she could evade them. It was something she had just always been able to do. It had taken her a long time to figure out what was happening, though, and by the time she fully understood it, she'd also long since figured out how to sneak out without getting caught. Her ability to avoid the wards extended to whoever was with her, as long as they were touching. It was one of the things she never spoke of. One of the things they'd helped her keep hidden. If she was caught, Theon would question how she evaded the wards. So she wouldn't get caught. Theon's suite overlooked the gardens along the back of the vast estate. Knowing there was no way she'd make it past the guards at the front gates, she'd gone the only way she could go, into the forest that climbed up the mountainside. Their property couldn't go on forever, right? Admittedly, she had not thought this plan through entirely. She rarely did. Usually there were others with her when things inevitably went to shit. But she could do this. She'd find her way to a road eventually, and then, well, she excelled at figuring things out in the moment. This wouldn't be any different, she supposed. She'd waited until after Axel had checked on her. She'd heard him creep into Theon's room to make sure she was still... what? There? Breathing? Alive? Probably all three.
Tessa? Hey, Tessa.
He'd tried talking to her, but she'd ignore him just like she had Theon.
Keep sleeping.
As soon as Axel had gone back out to his video game, though, she'd gotten out of bed. She'd already changed into jeans, a thermal, and sneakers, so all she had to do was tie her sweatshirt around her waist and grab the small bag she'd found in the closet. She'd stuffed it with a couple bottles of water, an apple, cheese, and a bag of nuts she'd taken from the kitchen. That was all the small bag could hold. She likely wouldn't have been able to carry anything else down the trellis or through the woods. The sun was setting, and she paused to untie her sweatshirt and slip it over her head. She hadn't taken into account how quickly the temperature would drop, or how she would stay warm tonight. Where was she even going to sleep? She could find a cave or something, maybe. What if there were bears in the cave? Or something worse? There were rumors of all manner of creatures in the Ozawul Mountains. Creatures that could fly. Tessa pushed those thoughts from her mind as she kept moving. She'd go until she couldn't see anymore, getting as far away from Arya's house as she possibly could, and figure out the rest as she went. She didn't really have much of a choice. She worked better under pressure anyway. Her stomach grumbled loudly. Oh. She reached into the small crossbody bag and tugged out the apple to eat while she continued moving. She hadn't eaten since dinner the night before. Another thing she really should have thought about before climbing down a three-story drop. She glanced at her muddy sneakers. Boots of some sort would have probably been a good idea too. But she hadn't been thinking. Her entire focus had been on getting out, getting away. Her entire world had revolved around that one goal. Nothing else had mattered. She couldn't think about anything else, too numb to really care. One step at a time. That's all she could do. And each step she took away from that house was her reaching that goal. And gods, to be outside, not cooped up in a set of rooms, but out in the open. No rules, no boundaries, nothing to keep her contained. Space to breathe. Each step also sent a resounding jolt through her limbs as the source bond protested loudly, reminding her this still wasn't true freedom. It begged her to turn around and go back to Theon. It made her long for his touch and so much more. It pressed at her, pleading with her to give in, to serve him, to do everything in her power to please him. She gritted her teeth against the pain she'd grown used to as she'd run, and eventually slowed to a walk. She'd become numb to that too eventually. At least she hoped she would. The sounds of the woods as she made her way over logs and through muddy patches had become soothing. Animals rustled and insects buzzed. She tried to keep her mind busy as the sun sank lower. Until she heard howling. She couldn't ignore that. Those were wolves. Tessa picked up her pace, her legs burning at the non-stop incline. Maybe she could get out of their range. But as she worked into a jog, the howling got closer, along with barks and snarls. Fuck this! Wolves can't climb trees. If she had to spend the night clinging to a branch, then that's what she'd do. She raced forward, the bag slipping from her grasp as she ran. But she didn't care. There wasn't time to stop. She slipped on the earth, still wet from the storm last night, mud splattering as she stepped in puddles. Most of the trees were pine trees, but she didn't register the stinging cuts she got from the needles as she raced among them. The first climbable tree she found, she started making her way up. How high could wolves jump? 4 feet? 5 feet? 6? She went higher and higher until she was at least halfway up the giant tree, just as two huge black wolves leapt from a clearing. She didn't know wolves could be that big, but they looked like they could jump higher than 6 feet. Orange eyes glowed as if they were embers. They prowled to the base of the tree she was in, and one stood up on its hind legs, placing its huge front paws on the trunk. It tipped its head back and howled to the ever-darkening sky. The wolf beside it began circling the tree, joining its brother in the chorus. How many more were they calling to join them? How long would they stay here trying to reach her? Would they eventually give up? The branches breaking and thundering paws had her trembling as she tried to climb higher. Weapons. A weapon of some sort would have been a good idea to bring with her.
Difficult. Impulsive. Reckless.
She cried out as her foot slipped, her torso scraping along the bark and pulling her from her spiral of thoughts. Clinging to the branch she was grasping, she pulled herself back up until she was resting against the trunk. The thundering of paws slowed and then ceased, and Tessa held her breath. Had they decided not to come after all? but the two wolves still paced around the base of her tree, pawing at the trunk. More twigs snapping had her whipping her head in the direction of the sound, but it wasn't wolves that emerged from between a cluster of trees. It was a massive black horse. It hadn't been paws, but thundering hooves. The wolves at the base of the tree ran to the horse, then back to the tree. The black horse and the wolves weren't what held her attention, though. It was the male on the back of the horse who was looking up at her with the rage of 1,000 angry spirits from the depths of the pits. Theon brought his horse to a halt as another equally gigantic horse emerged from the opposite direction. Lucas sat astride this horse, and when his eyes locked on Tessa, they seemed to glow faintly. Theon gave a sharp whistle as he slid off the horse. The two wolves immediately quieted and sat at the base of the tree. He reached into a bag tied to his saddle, and as he approached the wolves, he passed them each some type of meat. The wolves instantly tore into their rewards, soft snarling drifting up to her. Finally, he brought those emerald green eyes back to hers. She already couldn't move, but now she couldn't breathe either. The bond was having a fit in her chest, practically yanking her out of the tree to get to him.
There are far scarier things in these woods than my hounds.
You don't scare me, Theon!
I really, really should, beautiful.
A cruel smile twisted on his lips. Darkness began to coil and swarm around his feet, creeping over the ground like a dense fog. It stood out starkly, even amongst the dimming light of dusk. Theon lifted his palms, and Tessa's eyes widened as the darkness slithered from him like snakes. Shadows darker than night twisted and wound their way up the tree to her. She tried to scramble away from them, but where was she going to go? She was up a fucking tree! Such a stupid move. Who traps themselves in a tree? Someone reckless and impulsive, that's who. The darkness wrapped itself around her waist before it suddenly jerked, wrenching her from the branch and suspending her 15 feet from the ground. Theon stared up at her with a satisfied smirk on his mouth. His wolves, having finished their treats, sat obediently at his side. And in that moment, all she could see was the god of endings himself looking up at her. She saw everything his bloodline entailed. Power and death exuded from him in waves. And darkness. So much darkness. As if the floor had been pulled from beneath her, Tessa was plunging to the forest floor. She was yanked to a halt and placed on her feet by the shadows that clung to her waist. The wolves were on their feet, but Theon strode purposely forward. She backed up until she bumped into the tree she'd climbed. He didn't slow, coming right up to her and forcing her to tilt her head back to look up at him. What was he going to do to her?
Are you physically hurt anywhere?
His hands came to her face, where he tilted her head from side to side before systematically working his way down her body. He didn't wait for her to answer, healing any scrapes and bruises he found as he went. When he was satisfied she was fine, he gripped her elbow, hauling her over to his massive horse. With a flick of his fingers, his darkness again wrapped around her, as she was lifted from her feet and onto the back of the horse. Theon hoisted himself into the saddle behind her, reaching around her to grip the reins. Tessa didn't know what to do or how to sit. She'd never been on a horse before.
Relax, and sit back into me, Tessa. We have quite a ride ahead of us, and you will be incredibly uncomfortable if you sit like that the entire time.
His arms snaked around her waist where the darkness had been, and he tugged her back into the cradle of his hips. She couldn't hold in the soft moan that fell from her lips as pleasure darted up her spine. Without thinking, she pressed back into him even more, her back flush against his chest.
My thoughts precisely. But this discussion will be had when we are back in our rooms.
Tessa stiffened at the implications of those words as Theon urged the horse into motion.
Here!
Her hands flew forward, grasping the saddle horn to keep herself steady despite his arm wrapped tightly around her. She'd like to think he wouldn't let her fall off the horse, but the one time she'd let herself trust him, he'd shoved her beneath a table. The wolves fell into step beside the horse, staying close to their master's side. Luca came to ride beside them, and they worked the horses into a steady trot. They rode for over 2 hours, covering the same distance that had taken her an entire afternoon and into the evening to traverse. All of that work and effort for nothing. And despite trying to relax into Theon, she was tense against him. He was warm, though. No, that feeling was the damn bond. Arius' house came into view as they crested a small hill. Tessa sucked in a breath at the sight of the Arius house. They slowed the horses. The wolves panted, clearly as tired as she felt.
We better walk the rest of the way.
This was the first time he'd spoke since they'd started riding.
The hounds need to rest.
They did good work today. It's been a while since I've hunted with them.
Hunted. She'd been hunted today. The arm that Theon still held tightly around her tensed at her disapproval.
I thought of taking two of the younger ones, but I needed my best trackers.
True. You should bring a pup out with Kaisella sometime, though. He'd learn from her.
All right. Valid point. That is how Rigel became so skilled. I don't get out as much as I used to.
You know that Abasco and Aiel are going to be upset they were left behind today, right?
It isn't as if we could each ride two horses.
They won't see it that way. They're going to be a handful for the stable hands until you take them out.
Maybe in a few days I can get back down here and take them out. However, the next couple of days are pretty full.
Is that right?
His tone snagged Tessa's interest, and she glanced at Luca, startled to find him staring straight at her. She quickly looked forward once more, swallowing nervously. The pace was more of a stroll now, and she was very ready to get off the horse and out of Theon's arms. She jolted as the bond punished her for such a thought. It had been happily humming away for the last 2 hours. She'd forgotten the brutality of the thing that she'd dealt with most of the day.
What's wrong?
Nothing. I'm fine.
Then what was that? Why did you jump?
She pressed her lips together and ignored him.
What's made your next couple of days so full, Theon?
Theon sat up straighter. They had reached the paths of the gardens, and he turned the horse towards what Tessa assumed were the stables.
You know damn well why my next couple of days are so full.
I do, yes. But does she?
Tessa stiffened. She didn't want to know what she had to do with Theon's next couple of days.
She will find out soon enough.
Nothing else was said until they reached the stables. Theon slid down, landing gracefully on his feet. He dropped to a knee, leaving her atop the horse while he praised his wolves for their excellent tracking. They rubbed against him, licking his hands and face, and Tessa couldn't help but wonder how he'd trained wolves. Luca had dismounted as well, untying a bag and handing the reins off to a stable hand.
Make sure they get rubbed down well. They were worked hard today.
The Fae nodded, and as he led Luca's horse away, a loud huffing sound came from a pen. Another massive black horse stuck his head over a gate and began knocking on his stall with his hoof.
Told you.
Theon untied something from the saddle Tessa was still stuck in. How long was he going to leave her up here?
Hold him steady.
He handed the reins to another waiting stable hand. She watched in dismay as he left her there and strode over to the disgruntled horse. As he approached, yet another horse stuck its head out. It was as if the horses had planned a surprise attack.
Hey now.
Theon pushed the horse away by his nose.
I'll take you out soon, I promise.
Theon reached into the bag, pulling out an apple.
Peace offering?
At first, the large beast didn't seem like he was going to take the fruit, but then it swiped it quickly from Theon's outstretched palm.
Relax, Abesco. I have one for you, too.
When the horses appeared satisfied, Theon returned to the horse Tessa still sat upon. He slung the bag over his shoulder, then flicked his wrist. Shadows appeared, winding around her again. They weren't as rough as when they'd ripped her out of the tree, but it still took everything in her not to scream as they lifted her from the horse. When her feet hit the ground, she stumbled a bit at being on her feet again, but Theon caught her. His hands on her hips, he waited until she was steady, then one hand clamped onto her elbow.
Luca, can you take Kaisella and Rigel to the kennels and make sure they are fed and given water?
I can.
Thank you. We will see you tomorrow for a late breakfast. Say, mid-morning?
What? No. Luca had to be there tonight. He wouldn't leave her to deal with Theon on her own, would he?
Are you sure you do not want assistance tonight?
That won't be necessary.
Theon tugged her along beside him as he headed for the door.
We will see you in the morning.
Theon led her through the garden paths and back to the house. He clearly knew the area well, but she stumbled along in the dark. She'd been dreading this moment. Not facing Theon and whatever consequences he may dole out for her trying to leave. But stepping back into this house. Two silent tears tracked down her face when Theon opened the door for her and motioned for her to enter first. His lips thinned when he noticed the tears, but he said nothing, following her through the side door of the east wing. She dragged her feet as they climbed the stairs and went down the hall to Theon's suite. The wards pulled back, recognizing Theon, and he tugged her through the door. Axel immediately stood from the sofa and walked over to them.
Thank the gods you found her.
Theon had finally released his hold on her and was removing his jacket.
Yes, Kaecella and Rigel were exceptional as always.
Axel was looking at Tessa, worry filling his emerald eyes.
Do you need me to do anything, or...
His gaze flickered from her to Theon and back again.
No.
Theon kicked his boots off.
We are having a late breakfast tomorrow. You're welcome to join us mid-morning.
Is Luca coming back tonight?
He is not.
Theon crossed to the kitchen and pulled a bottle of whiskey from the liquor cabinet. He poured the liquor.
I need some time with my source to discuss some things.
Tessa flinched back at the words. My source. Not her name.
Are you sure you don't want me to stay a little longer?
Axel cast another worried look at her. Tessa could have kissed him for trying.
Good night, Axel.
Theon glanced pointedly at the door.
Thank you for everything today.
Axel gave Tessa a pitying look before he scooped up his phone and a sweatshirt and left without another word. Tessa stood rooted to the spot where Theon had left her. Her sneakers were muddy and her clothing was just as filthy. Her hair was a mess from the ride back and her face was tear-stained from the events of the last 2 days. She didn't move as she waited for the barrage of questions and demands she was sure were coming. What was she thinking? Did she really think this would work? Where did she think she was going to go? How did she get past the wards? Why couldn't she simply obey commands and rules? Why couldn't she fall into line? Too wild, too disobedient, too much of a hassle. Theon drained the last of his whiskey. He braced his hands against the edge of the countertop and stared at her. She couldn't read his eyes or his features, but she held his gaze, staring right back at him. After nearly an entire minute, he began walking slowly towards her, and she couldn't help but take a step back. What are you going to do?
Oh, Tessa, there is so much that needs to be said. So much that needs to be discussed. So much that needs to be done.
With every step he took, the farther she stepped back until she hit the dining table. She looked around frantically, trying to find something to... What? Defend herself? It wouldn't matter. She'd seen his magic in the woods, but she knew that wasn't nearly the full extent of it. And when he could draw even more power from her, he'd be an unyielding force.
But none of that is what I'm going to do now.
It's not.
No, it's not.
He stopped directly in front of her, his eyes roaming over her with an intensity she didn't know what to do with.
Right now, I'm going to count to three, and then I'm going to kiss you.
You're going to... She wasn't understanding what he was saying.
If you do not want me to kiss you, say so before I get to three. One.
He stepped further into her personal space. His hands came to her waist, lifting her smoothly onto the table, and Tessa's breath caught in her throat. She was too flustered to process what was happening.
Two.
Theon slid his hands down her thighs to her knees, where he pulled them apart and stepped between them. One hand came to the back of her neck, and he leaned forward, lining his lips up with hers. She opened her mouth to tell him to stop, but nothing came out. The cord inside her was frenzied with anticipation, and something unacceptable was curling low in her stomach, heat flooding through her.
Three.
He didn't wait another second, pulling her the short distance that was left between their lips. This kiss wasn't soft and slow. It was hard and punishing. This kiss possessed her very being. His tongue pressed against the seam of her lips, demanding access, and she let him in. He tasted of night and smoke as their tongues tangled with each other. His hand held her in place at the back of her head, while the hand on her hip worked its way under her layers to graze bare flesh. Her skin tingled wherever he touched, and tiny sparks of energy seemed to follow his fingers. She gasped when his hand reached her breast, squeezing it over her bra. This damn bond. Or was it the bond? She couldn't focus enough to worry about it as his mouth left hers and began making its way down the column of her throat. Her hand sank into the silken strands of his black hair, while her other hand gripped the edge of the table. She was trying to remind herself that she was only feeling this way because of the bond, that if it weren't for that, she wouldn't be letting him touch her. But she couldn't focus on anything but his lips on her neck as they sucked and teased. He was going to leave a different kind of mark on her skin at this rate, and a part of her didn't care as she sank into the pleasure of it all. His hands left her body, reaching for the edge of her sweatshirt and lifting it over her head in one swift movement. He wasted no time returning his lips to her skin, to her mouth. His hands slid down her sides, over her hips, down her thighs, as if he couldn't touch her enough, and she couldn't get enough of his touch. Unable to stop herself any longer, her other hand finally wrapped around his neck, drawing him closer. He approved, and a hand slipped back under the thermal. Fingers dragged up along her spine. Theon wrapped a ponytail around his other wrist, yanking it to tilt her head back. At her gasp, he drew back, nipping her bottom lip. His eyes were darkened with want as he stared down at her, his breathing as ragged as her own. He seemed to search for something in her eyes, and she didn't know if he found it or if he gave up.
Go and shower, Tessa. I have clothes laid out for you in the closet. You have 5 minutes, and I will be entering the bathroom.
I can't be done showering in 5 minutes. I'm a mess.
Theon released her hair and straightened, forcing Tessa to crane her neck back even more to look up into his face.
If you think I am letting you out of my sight for longer than 5 minutes in the near future, you are sorely mistaken. You are lucky I'm not following you into the shower itself. If not to finish what we were doing here, then, at the very least, to ensure you do not somehow figure out a way to slip down the god's damn drain.
Tessa felt her face flush at his words, and she lowered her eyes, biting her bottom lip. Theon stepped back, and she nearly fell off the table.
Go, Tessa. Your time is counting down.
She scrambled down at those words, rushing across the room and into Theon's bedroom. Lifting her shirt as she went, she kicked off her sneakers that had surely left a trail of mud. She undressed in the bathroom, not bothering to get her clothes to the laundry bin in the closet, as she turned on a set of the shower heads to lukewarm. Despite how cold it was outside, her skin was on fire after what had just happened on the table. What had just happened on the table? She had expected rage and fury to be pouring off of Theon, and in a way, they had been. He had hardly spoken to her since finding her up a tree, and he'd seemed to take at least a small amount of pleasure from scaring her half to death when he yanked her off that branch with his magic. Luca had certainly hinted that Theon had plans for her, and Axel had seemed nervous about leaving her alone with him. So why had he done that? She was rinsing the conditioner from her long hair when movement caught her eye through the glass shower walls. Theon didn't even glance at her as he moved through the bathroom and into the closet. He'd removed his own shirt and his jeans were unbuttoned. He may not have looked at her, but she sure as shit watched him. Suddenly realizing her time was likely up, she quickly finished rinsing her hair before shutting off the water and grabbing her towels. When she'd dried off and wrapped her hair up, she moved cautiously to the closet where he had indeed set out clothing on the island dresser. Theon was no longer in there, though. She quickly dressed in the lounge pants and tank top he'd laid out for her. She knew she'd be grabbing a thermal to sleep in when she went to bed. The thin blanket she had would definitely not keep her warm enough, and that small room was drafty. She went back to the bathroom to comb her hair, already dreading how long it was going to take to work out knots even after a conditioning treatment. Theon re-entered as she was working the brush methodically through her strands. He stopped just inside the doorway, leaning against it and crossing his arms.
I also need to clean up.
Okay.
You are not to leave the bathroom while I do.
I'm not staying in here while you shower, Theon.
You are, Tessa. You will stay where I can see you the entire time.
I'm not going to go anywhere.
Theon gave her a dry look that had Tessa shrinking back.
Do not leave the bathroom, Tessa. If I have to chase you down while naked, I cannot be held entirely responsible for what will happen when I catch you.
Tessa walked to the bench of the makeup table as Theon shucked off his clothes behind her and before the shower was turned back on. She kept her back resolutely to him, ignoring the annoying voice telling her to sneak a peek over her shoulder. A few minutes later, the shower shut off and he walked by with a towel wrapped around his waist.
Don't move.
He didn't look at her as he made his way into the closet. Tessa scowled, crossing her arms. He returned in less than a minute in lounge pants and no shirt. Her eyes raked over his muscled torso and along the tapering trail that disappeared into the band of his pants. Part of her wanted to touch. The other part of her wanted to stab him with something, or make him sit at her feet beneath a god's damn table.
Do you need anything to eat or drink before we go to bed?
She shook her head. It wasn't smart, Experience told her food would likely become sparse in the coming days. She'd hardly eaten, but she also had no appetite after how it had ended. Theon nodded once before striding from the bathroom. Tessa stood, but instead of following him out to his bedroom, she crossed through the closet and into her small space. She frowned when she found the bed missing its blanket.
You are not sleeping in there tonight.
She went rigid and stormed into his bedroom. He was pulling back the blankets on his bed before turning to place his phone on a charger on his bedside table. Where is my blanket?
It was in the stable so Kaisella and Rigel could learn your scent to track you down in the woods. One would assume it is still there.
What am I supposed to use as a blanket?
There are plenty on the bed.
He gave a pointed look at the comforter. I am not sleeping in a bed with you. Theon's gaze snapped to hers, and Tessa cringed at the darkness that crept across his irises.
You are sleeping in this bed with me, Tessa. You were gone for hours. The bond is demanding your closeness right now, despite riding so closely on Osiris and what we did on the table. So yes, you will be sleeping in this bed with me tonight. You will sleep in this bed with me for the foreseeable future, because you are my source, and that is what is required of you.
Tessa opened and closed her mouth, not knowing what to say to that. She watched as he climbed into the bed.
Come to bed, Tessa. If I am this tired, you are surely exhausted after traipsing through the woods for a half a day.
She still didn't move.
Do not make me force this. Tomorrow is going to be exhausting for both of us. It would do well for you to get a good night's rest.
Why will tomorrow be exhausting?
Because tomorrow we will discuss dinner last night. What happened today, how things will be different in the future, and everything in between. Now come to bed.
Theon watched her warily when she finally began moving. He trailed her all the way to the bed, and she settled down on the very edge, as far away from him as possible. His arm looped around her waist and pulled her across the bed. She tried to stiffen against him, but her body didn't cooperate. Instead, all of her muscles relaxed, and she snuggled back against his bare chest. He worked his other arm under her, wrapping it across her shoulders, securing her to him. As she leaned her head back onto his shoulder, her eyes almost immediately closed, and she felt the barest touch of lips pressed to the top of her head. Emotions roared inside of her, and for the life of her, she couldn't figure out which were her own and which were because of the bond that had been forced on her. She had the strongest urge to apologize to him for the day. If he felt half of the agony she'd felt with every step she took, she knew he'd been in pain, although the thing seemed to work differently for him. But then again, maybe an apology tonight would lessen the blows that were going to come in the morning. She always seemed to earn food privileges back faster at the estate when she admitted fault right away, even if she didn't mean it. Theon?
Not tonight, Tessa. I don't have the energy to deal with this tonight.
Tessa's lips tilted into a frown. What did that mean? He didn't have the energy for this conversation, or to deal with her entirely.
You are too much of a hassle.
But I...
Enough, Tessa. This will be handled in the morning.
Tessa didn't answer, only nodded her head once to convey her understanding. She knew Theon had fallen asleep when his breathing turned deep and steady. But she was still awake, her mind wandering and conjuring all the ways Theon might punish her tomorrow. Her thoughts swirled, and she spiraled until she found herself counting. One, two, it was something three, she'd started doing when she was younger. Enduring whatever method Mother Cordelia was using to try to fix her. It'd become a habit, always finding herself counting when she needed an escape. She'd count for seconds, telling herself she could do anything for one more second, and another. One more second turned into one more minute, became one more hour. But she hadn't needed to count much since Dex and the others had come around. They'd become the seconds, the minutes, the hours, helping her breathe until the light made it through the cracks in the dark. 56, 57, 58. She counted long into the night before sleeping finally claimed her. 62, 63. There were fingers combing through her hair. She was warm and calm and nestled back into the hard wall of muscle behind her. The fingers moved from her hair and began brushing up and down her bare arm. goosebumps pebbling in their wake. She felt content? Safe? She wasn't sure. Both were foreign feelings to her. When Tessa cracked her eyes open, there was a faint glow from beyond the balcony doors. It was barely dawn. She twisted to look at the clock on the nightstand, but her eyes settled on eyes of emerald green instead, and she got a little lost in them. She couldn't read any of the emotions playing out on his face, because there really weren't any. In fact, his features were devoid of anything that would give her the slightest hint as to what his mood might be, and those fleeting feelings of safety and contentment quickly dissipated. Theon pulled away from her, flinging the blankets off of himself.
I'm going to make coffee. When I bring it back in here, we will have the first of many discussions.
Without looking back, he padded barefoot from the bedroom. Tessa pushed into a sitting position, rubbing sleep from her eyes. That was the best sleep she'd had since she'd slept for 3 days straight. She knew it was because of sleeping curled up next to Theon, and despite knowing what was coming, she felt refreshed. Climbing out of bed, she went to the bathroom to brush her teeth. After she ran a brush through her hair, she found one of Theon's thermals to pull on. It was going to be a long day. She wanted to be in comfortable clothing, not tight-fitting ones. She was just re-emerging when Theon came back in, carrying two mugs of coffee. He paused, his eyes sweeping over her, before he moved forward and set the mugs down on the small table between the armchairs.
Sit.
Tessa hesitated only a moment before lowering herself into the chair. She knew how to play this. The less combative she was today, the less severe the consequences, the less time spent locked in the dark. Theon picked up a mug and handed it to her. She instantly wrapped her hands around the hot ceramic cup, absorbing the heat.
Tessa, I don't even know where to start.
Theon began to pace back and forth before her, his hands running through his hair.
What happened at dinner the other night can never happen again.
Agreed. She brought the mug to her lips. He paused his pacing.
You agree?
Oh yes, I agree. I will never be made to sit at your feet again.
She watched him carefully over her cup as she took another sip of caffeine.
That is not...
He ran a hand down his face, and when he looked at her again, something had shifted in his eyes and features. They were harsher, darker.
No, Tessa. You can never disobey me like that again. Certainly not in public, and never in front of my father.
I dropped a fork, Theon. I did not throw the fork across the room. I did not try to stab someone with it. I did not try to comb my hair with it. I dropped it.
Theon's brow knitted in confusion.
Why would you try to comb your hair with a fork?
It has tines, like a comb's teeth, albeit a very small comb, but if one were in a bind, it would probably work.
I feel as though the similarities between a fork and a comb are not important at the moment.
No, they are not. What is important is that you made me sit at your feet like one of your damn wolves for accidentally dropping a fork.
My hounds are far better behaved than you are.
Tessa glared at him, unimpressed, as she raised her middle finger in his direction. Theon moved quickly. Tessa jumped, coffee sloshing out of the mug and onto her pants. He was standing over her, his hands braced on the armrests on either side of her. He plucked her mug from her hand and set it on the table.
Gods, Theon, what the fuck?
This behavior is exactly what cannot continue, Tessa.
She stilled.
I have tried to give you time to adjust to this. I have let you have your temper tantrums and—
Temper tantrums?
She leaned in so her face was inches from his.
You took everything from me.
Theon stepped back from her.
Don't be so dramatic.
She shot to her feet.
I didn't even get to bring my own clothing with me.
I have provided you with all the clothing you could ever need. And much better clothing at that.
That is so not the point, Theon!
Isn't it? If you weren't fighting so adamantly against your fate, you would see that I can provide you with everything you could ever need.
You took me from everything I know, Theon! How can you not see that? My home, my friends! You stole my future from me!
Her fists were clenching and unclenching at her sides, her skin beginning to buzz with something that needed out.
You are wrong, Tessa. Your home. You'd already left it. You would be at the Acropolis until the selection year was over, and then you'd go to your assigned kingdom. Your friends.
You likely would have been separated from them when you received your assignment. Even if you were assigned to the same kingdom, the kingdoms are huge. You would have still been separated from them. And your future. You are Fae. Your purpose was always to serve the legacy in one way or another. How that purpose was just altered was likely in your favor.
How in the realm do you figure that?
You becoming my source is better than any other fate you would have likely been assigned.
Which is what exactly?
That is not important, Tessa. Furthermore, none of that matters. When you became mine...
I am not yours!
Theon's hands shot out, his fingers wrapping around her throat.
You are, Tessa. You are my source.
That doesn't make me yours.
She tried to pull out of his grip, but his fingers only tightened until he yanked his hand back, as if he'd touched something too hot. Stalking from the room, he left Tessa standing before the fireplace, wondering what the fuck had just happened. But he returned a minute later with a tablet. Tessa narrowed her eyes as he turned the thing so she could see the screen. It was a document on her. Her own face stared back at her from a photo in the upper right corner. The first page was details about her life, where she was raised, physical attributes, elemental predictions. Theon interrupted her view when he tapped something near the bottom of the screen. Current location, Arius Kingdom. Theon St. Orcus, Master, took possession at opening selection ceremony 5622, assuming complete dominion. Theon had signed his name underneath in agreement. Her hand shook when she moved to swipe the screen, but he pulled the tablet away from her before she had a chance to see anything else. What is that?
Your documents. All the Fae have them.
Documents for what?
To keep track of you and which kingdom is responsible for you.
She knew Fae were viewed as less than to the legacy, but to have actual papers? God, the mortals had more rights than she did. She couldn't stop moving, growing restless as something pressed at her being, aching to be let free. She was shifting from foot to foot, a hand raking through her long hair and tugging lightly at the strands. Theon was watching her warily.
Before we left the Acropolis, I had to sign transfer papers before I could take you from the Pantheon.
Documents. Transfer papers. He could call them something pretty, but it didn't change what they were. Ownership records.
You are mine, Tessa. What you say and how you act reflect directly on me. And while you might not see it this way, everything I do is to protect you and care for you.
You only do it because I am your source. You do not do it because you care for me. You do it because you need me.
If that is what you choose to believe. But even if that was true, this can be a mutually beneficial exchange. You provide me with what I need, and I provide you with everything you need.
And I am just to accept that I am a piece of property to be used and drained whenever you see fit?
It does not have to be that way. Why can't you see that?
Theon moved forward and snatched her hands when she started to reach for her hair again. Sparks of pleasure darted through her body at his touch.
See? Beautiful. I know you feel what I feel when we touch. When we're close to one another.
Only because I am forced to feel that way. She tried to pull her hands from his, but admittedly not trying very hard. Theon tugged her closer instead, wrapping his arms around her waist and pressing his brow to hers.
Let yourself be mine, Tessa. Give in to it. It will only get harder to resist, and eventually you will give in anyway. You will want everything I have to offer. Why put yourself through all this turmoil?
Was he right? Would the pull get stronger and stronger with each new mark? Would the agony of the bond become so great she would eventually just give in? Would this all be for nothing? Maybe he was right, and this was her fate. Maybe it was all leading to this in the end.
Stop thinking so hard. For just a few seconds, just feel what it could be like.
One hand slid up to her nape, while the other came to her lower back and pressed her flush into his body. Soft parts of her pressed into the hard planes of him.
It could be like this all the time.
His lips skimmed up her throat.
You and me, little storm.
He was everywhere all at once, and she couldn't think straight. Not with this damn bond urging her to give in, begging her to let him have her.
I...
No, Tessa. No thinking. Just feeling.
He brushed his lips across hers in a feather-like kiss. Then he did it again on one corner of her mouth, then the other. He moved to her jaw, just the slightest touch of lips to skin. Was it all the source bond? There was no doubt Theon was attractive. More than attractive. There had been something there from the moment she'd seen him at the Pantheon. Maybe her own attraction was compounding with the bond, and that's what was making this so goddamn hard. She just wished she could know for sure, because he had cared for her. Granted, he was the reason she had been ill, and he'd taken her from all she'd ever known. It only seemed right that he provide her with clothing and a roof over her head. But he'd done other things, too. He'd taken notice of her hatred of socks. He'd given her time and space, not forcing her to sleep beside him most nights, and not entrancing her to obey him. He certainly hadn't tried to force her into anything physical to appease the bond. Even last night, he had given her an out. He'd counted to three and given her time to say no. So why hadn't she?
I can hear the wheels turning in your mind.
She opened her mouth, not even sure what she was going to say.